3.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Idiomatic Top 3.
With Nicholas, I'm the video game correspondent for Idiomatic.
And I'm Dimitri, editor-in-chief of Idiomatic.com and movie critic. I had actually forgotten for a second or two there what it is I do on the site. Today we are talking about a topic that actually reaches both of us for once.
Yep, top Nintendo games that should be made into movies.
Because you know what? I watch those video game adaptations in theaters every year and I go, you know what? Needs more suck.
Yeah, the thing is though, Nintendo usually treats their products very well. And they haven't made any movies really because of their first monumental flop, Super Mario Bros., which got made into a movie. It was the first real video game that was turned into a movie. They didn't know exactly how to do it.
And they still don't?
They still don't, really. But the movie got, you know, destroyed completely. It bombed. It was terrible. So, you know, and after that, they said, no, we're not doing this anymore. It's over. You know, our franchises are going to stay video games. We don't want to make jokes out of them. So, you know, they haven't tried yet. But there's, you know, maybe a possibility if they treat the movie the same way they treat their franchise with, you know, respect and, you know, try and get some products, they could do something good.
Yeah, I mean, I see where they're coming from to a certain degree, but I feel that they jumped the gun a little bit. Like, this was like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Give or take. And, you know, back then, first of all, we're talking about 8-bit video games where the graphics capability, you know, like, especially Super Mario Brothers, it's a game where it's like, what can you do to an enemy? Well, I can make a triangle with round edges. All right, that will be a mushroom Goomba.
Yeah.
And our hero will have a mustache because that looks better on screen than trying to make a mouth.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is a game that was totally based on what the technology could afford to do. 8-bit technology, might I stress.
Yeah.
And then they built a story around it. And when I say story, I mean quote-unquote story.
Very basic. It's like, oh, look, the evil turtles capture the kingdom. Go save the princess. It's so basic, you know. Of course, evil turtles, because that's what you could achieve with the graphics. No.
Exactly. And he goes through pipes, because a pipe is easy to make. Like, that's, you know.
Well, he's a plumber. Plumbers always go through pipes, don't they?
Yeah, no, but I think he's a plumber because they could make a pipe.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yes, you're right.
And so, you know, obviously, when you start with a franchise like that, you're not going to make a really good story out of it, because the story is completely insane. It's inane. It's based on what you could do graphically, and what you could do graphically was not a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, 25 years later, maybe it's time for Nintendo to sort of reopen the door, because there might be more possibilities now that video games are much more story-based.
Yeah.
I think so. Anyway, we certainly are going to give it our darndest shot to try to come up with good video game adaptation concepts for those Nintendo things.
Yep.
What is your number 3 Nintendo game that they should make into a movie?
I would start with The Legend of Zelda, which is a very popular Nintendo franchise. It's pretty much a fantasy genre. Basically, he fights with a sword and shield, fighting enemies. The thing that makes it a little weaker is it's a pretty much a basic concept that he has to either save the princess or go gather the Triforce. And it's very episodic, you know, go do one dungeon, go do another one, go do a third one. So there's a weakness there. You'd have to find a way to streamline it a little more, and that might be hard to do. I mean, I remember an example of something that's not streamlined, like the last Narnia movie where they had, I think, to find keys.
Oh, that was... Oh.
And they found like 3 of them at one point. It's like, oh, you know, the movie's too short. Let's find these 3 keys right here. It's like, okay, this is very, very poorly, you know. So you need to find a way to streamline it a little more, you know. So, but, you know, it's a very popular character and people like him. It could totally work.
What I like about taking Zelda is the idea of parallel worlds. Like, that's a mainstay of most Zelda games. Either you go into the past and affect things that way through time travel.
Yeah.
Or you go into a parallel world where if you move a brick in one world, that brick gets moved in the other world.
Yeah.
And I sort of would love to see that aspect in a movie. I think that can create some really cool storytelling possibilities.
Yes. Although, it might have to be a little dumbed down for the masses. Like, explain, I'm moving this block here because in 1,000 years, it was like, no, don't do that.
Oh, God, no, don't explain it that much.
Yeah, let's just, you know, make it obvious what he's doing. Don't over-explain, or else, yeah, it's going to become terrible.
No, I agree. And you make a good point about the episodic nature of it as well. I think Narnia, its biggest problem is that it had to keep with the book, so it had a set number of keys,
yeah.
But it didn't have time to do all of the keys separately, so they started going like, and here are three keys, let's move on with the plot.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay. Whereas with Zelda, you can just go like, instead of seven maidens, fairies, whatever, to yeah. get out of a crystal, just do four. Yeah. You know, like, just, and don't explain it. I was like, oh, the other, you know, don't, there's four in this version, all yeah. right?
If you want to have many, he goes to one place and, you know, he saves maybe one or two, and then the bad guy, you know, gets the rest of them and is like, oh, you're not going to get me, and he escapes. Mm-hmm. And then you enter part two of the movie, you know, it's like, it doesn't have to be, okay, this palace has one, this thing has one. It's like, no, just, you know, streamline it, is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree. I think me, the biggest problem, though, is the costume, because Link's costume is so iconic.
Yeah.
But it's sort of not very movie-like, I guess. It's sort of a little bit fey.
It is a little fey. I have seen people cosplaying on YouTube or, you know, just posting pictures of their Link, and it is a very hard costume to make look cool. You are right. It always looks a little... It makes Robin Hood look dignified, is what I'm about to say, you know. And I mean the Disney one as a fox, you know. It makes him look dignified. So you're right about that, you know, costume. It's going to be tough.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Zelda is not the main character in The Legend of Zelda. She's usually the MacGuffin.
Yeah.
But the thing is, she has an established personality. She's sort of strong-willed as a princess. She, you know, they've established that she sometimes dresses as a ninja to go out into the real world and help her people and whatnot.
Sure, ninjas are cool.
Yeah, whatever. Sheik or something is her character. Yeah. So her personality is well-established, but the thing is, the main character is Link. And yeah. his personality is, of course, left completely blank because, well, we're playing him.
Exactly.
So how would you view Link's personality in the movie?
That's a tough question. You're right. You know, you want him to be heroic and decisive, because that's how I play him. You know, I'm the hero. I'm kicking ass. Honestly, I'm basing most of what I'm thinking from the cartoon, where he did kind of have a personality. He liked to goof off, but when it was time to, you know, do his thing, he was serious and pretty professional about it.
It was a bit of a dime store Han Solo, actually.
A little bit.
Well, excuse me.
No, okay. We want to stay away from that. That was a kid's cartoon, and as a kid, I loved it.
All right. My number three pick for a Nintendo movie. I'm going to go with something that will seem a lot obvious for a lot of people, but the Contra series.
Yeah.
A bunch of military soldiers of fortune fighting an armada of corporate
aliens.
Well, we don't know that at first, though, yeah. right? So they're sort of corporate soldiers. It's completely ill-defined. Yeah. And then they turn out to be working for aliens and being genetically altered themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think this is essentially, you know, the Predator story, more elaborate, essentially, to some extent. I wish they had made that movie in the 80s, actually. Like, totally Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone kicking alien butt in the jungle. I would totally have watched that.
Would you have them shirtless like in the game?
Oh, well, that's why I picked Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone. They're used to it.
Yeah, all right. And since, you know, there's no real choice, you know, you can make it pretty straightforward. I mean, although Contra is nonstop action, really. So how do you kind of make your movie so that it's not continuously them shooting at everything?
Well, I find actually that aspect of the game actually makes it easier to adapt, because people will forgive the movie slowing down to present you with a plot. And since no real plot has been established for Contra, it's yeah. all just shoot, 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 shoot. Oh, you're shooting soldiers. And then the programmers got bored and was like, here's a giant brain. You know, like,
yeah.
what the hell? You can actually give a chance to the filmmakers to actually come up with a story as to how the aliens slowly took us over, you know, and maybe they have their hands in all of our government or something like that. Like, I would love a story a little bit like John Carpenter's They Live, where
okay.
aliens have taken over the world, but we just don't know it.
Okay.
And all our governments are essentially ultimately run by aliens who are just exploiting our natural resources and using us as very low wage slaves.
Okay.
And we don't know it because we're all caught up in our political system, in our financial systems. But the big twist of They Live, if you'll forgive the spoiler for a 40-year-old movie, is that... Well, 30-year-old. It's not like an alien government that's taken us over. It's they're just corporations from alien planets that are exploiting us the same way that industrialized nations are exploiting third world countries. Okay. It's exactly the same dynamic. And I think that would apply really well as a concept today, because it's still true today.
Yeah.
And it feels even truer today, to be honest.
That's true.
But with, like, you know, crazy gun kata, silly action that you would expect from a Contra movie.
You had me at gun kata.
The one thing I would change is the way they jump in the air, because I always thought that would look stupid.
Yeah, that's pretty hard. Also, when they find new guns, it's not just them shooting at orbs flying in the air and it's like, hey, I got this flamethrower now.
Yes. We can skip that part.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, what is your number two pick for Nintendo property to be adapted into a movie?
Well, it's a game from Nintendo, only had one. It's Chrono Trigger. Basically, it's the story of one guy. He's at the fair where he meets like a girl, happens to be the princess of the kingdom, and she gets accidentally thrown back in time, and he goes and saves her, and that just brings out a bunch of different events in motion that you have to keep traveling through time to different periods to realize what's happening, and, you know, try and fix what they keep messing up to finally realize that they have like a really big bad guy that they need to beat, because when they travel to the future, they realize that everything's destroyed because that bad guy has emerged, and you're like, we need to stop him. And they do that by, again, traveling through time and, you know, finding allies and weapons and finding the bad guy's weakness. And I thought that was a very good story that could be adapted very well in the movie. A problem I see is, like, you know, the costume department might get really angry having to do like seven different epochs of a costume. But, you know, if you make it a smart script, you know, where you see that every action in, you know, a certain time period has an effect in the later one, that'd be like super interesting.
Yeah, no, it would be a really ambitious work, but in a good way. I find, like, I would find that really visually fascinating, the idea that you'd have costumes from different eras and having that sort of richness visually into a sci-fi movie. I think I would like that a lot, actually.
There were a lot of characters, though. It's like 7 or 8. Okay, unfortunately, I know, you know, it's video game fans are going to, you know, hate me for that, but you might want to cut that to maybe 2 or 3 that you really care about and not have, like, the whole gang of, you know, 7 of them and have, like, mix and match combos. That's a little much, you know. We're not the Fast and the Furious yet. We don't need all that giant cast, you know. Just make it about less people, but more about the story and less about, you know, how every character is cool, is what I'm saying.
Or, alternately, you could go the trilogy route with this. It certainly is visually rich enough to pull it off.
Yes, that's true.
And then you could have 7, 8 characters, because you could, you know, look through 2 or 3 characters at a time and maybe 4 in the first movie, 4 in the second movie,
yeah,
and then new mix and matches in the third movie. You know?
Yeah, that'd be interesting. They need to do that now. I'm all excited for a movie that they're not going to do. Damn it.
That sounds like a really cool movie. I would want to watch that. Any characters you'd like to cast in there?
They're actually kind of bland, honestly. So it's hard for me to put an actor to a character because they're like... Okay, I know that, you know, the princess is kind of like a little ditzy and, you know, a little blonde, so I totally cast Jennifer Lawrence in there because she could totally play that. And then there's another main character we use, like the really brainy, smarty girl that figures out how to time travel. Like, I don't know, who could play both brainy and smart? Because that's not usually a character you see in Hollywood movie because it's not sexy.
Oh, that's harsh and so true.
It is harsh and so true, unfortunately, which, you know, but yeah.
I guess Emma Stone.
Yes, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
she looks smart in every role she plays. Although I have the same feeling about Jennifer Lawrence. Like, it's funny, you've mentioned Jennifer Lawrence and I've mentioned Emma Stone.
Yeah.
It's like, you could interchange them, really, in the two roles you've mentioned.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, because they're good actresses. They could play it.
Yeah.
Yes, so get on that, Nintendo. All right, so what is your number two?
My number two pick for a Nintendo franchise to turn into a movie. Also an obvious one, in my opinion, but I'm going to go with Castlevania.
Yes. Just as a, you know, it started Nintendo. It branched out to other systems, but originally it is Nintendo. So let's consider that a Nintendo franchise.
Yeah, it's all the way to 3, I think.
3, I think the fourth one on Super Nintendo as well. Okay. Keep continuing. So yeah, it is a Nintendo franchise. So don't email us angry emails saying it's on PlayStation 2. It's like, no, it was originally on Nintendo.
Yeah. Okay, well, for me, why it's obvious is because this is a franchise that is enamored with horror movie culture.
Yeah.
It's full of references to long forgotten directors of monster movies and long forgotten characters of monster movies. It's all a hodgepodge. It's sort of like what Van Helsing was meant to be, but in video game form.
Okay.
So I'd love to see a movie of it the same way I'd love to see a version of Van Helsing that doesn't suck.
Oh, God. 10, 20 years. Give it a chance.
So... yeah, it's okay. So it's the Belmont family, going after Dracula.
Pretty much
is what it is, and meeting all kinds of supernatural creatures. So you have a lot of options for cool action, special effects, all of that.
Yeah,
and I think as a kind of neat twist, I'd love to play the different generations, not just focus on Simon or the one after, whose name I can't remember.
One of them is Richter.
So you'd essentially have 3 short movies linked into one and take advantage of the idea that Dracula is immortal.
Yeah, basically, I think the second one is they have to beat the curse of Dracula that was laid on their family. And yeah, that's what Simon's Quest is about. And and then it goes from later on. It goes from generation to generation. That'd be interesting. Yeah, showing that Dracula is actually really immortal and he can always be brought back. And they have this burden as that family to have to go and kill him every time he comes back. That'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a concept there, definitely.
Would you have Dracula sparkle?
I think not. Not because I object to the sparkling. I have to say, like, in Twilight, the sparkling vampires, everybody's, like, all over that stuff, going, like, how dare she? And I for the life of me, can't bring myself to care. It's like, so they sparkle in this version. Who cares? They're like, they're super fey and effeminate anyway. It's not like the sparkle changed anything.
The thing that I don't like about the sparkling is that she kind of introduces a new mythology of vampires with the sparkling thing. But then, you know, she thinks we have to assume other stuff we already know about vampires that she doesn't explain. It's like, if you're going to reinvent the vampire, tell us what the rules are. Don't have us, you know, oh, well, now these vampires do this and do that, and do they still act like old vampires as well? It's like, no, you need to, you know, really specify what the rules are.
Well, in fairness to the books do that quite specifically, because Edward Cullen walks her through what a vampire is in excruciating detail.
Okay, so but in the movie, you know, he couldn't do that with, like, Inception music in the background to make it interesting. Wow! But yeah, would you change Dracula or would you make him basically the typical vampire?
Well, I think to be true to the spirit of Castlevania, which is all about referencing the universal monsters of which Dracula was amongst, you'd have to sort of stick to those classic rules of early cinema. I think that would be in the spirit of what Castlevania is all about.
And Christopher Lee is still there to play Dracula, so we're all good. He can play the older incarnation when once he's been killed like a bunch of times, you know, he just gets older.
And I would want him to be the same actor, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, you know, he's a vampire. He doesn't necessarily age that much, whereas, you know, generations of Belmonts go at him, so...
Yeah, you're right. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, what is your number one pick for Nintendo game to be adapted into a movie?
Probably my favorite franchise. You can take any adventures of it and make it in a movie, but you know, you can write something original to it. It's very easy. I would go with Metroid, which is the story of Samus, who's a bounty hunter, and she is, I guess, condemned to fighting, always go down planets with, you know, those life-sucking
parasites,
yeah, called Metroid, and they're usually, you know, those are kind of usually innocentish creatures that are usually part of a plot by, like, pirates that are trying to control the galaxy, and that would make a great sci-fi movie, you know. She's trying to stop the plot, and she you know, finds those Metroids, and they sometimes say different shape, and different size, different, you know, different attributes, and that could be interesting, you know, pretty interesting to see her go through and, you know, try and save the galaxy.
I agree, and you touch upon a really cool point about the fact that the Metroids, while they are the direct threat, because they're a powerful creature, they are innocent in most of the stories. It's always the space pirates and whatever.
Yeah, they're breeding them, you know, and they suck energy. It's not their fault. That's what they do, you know. They just suck other beings' energy to live.
And that was a cool particularity about some of the Metroid sequels where, you know, there's a nice one that follows her around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think for the movie to work, they'd have to keep that element of the bad guys are not the faceless aliens, as in every other piece of fiction ever made, but the people behind the faceless alien. And yeah, I think that you'd have a really cool story in your hands.
That's true, yeah. And, you know, one big thing about the game is, like, you know, the exploring and backtracking. But, I mean, I think if you keep it through and you have, like, certain, you know, classic bosses, like, you know, Kraid, who's, like, a three-story-tall giant dinosaur, you know, she doesn't have to go backtrack and go, you know, she just encounters them as she's questing. You know, you don't need to have her go through a maze and, oh, I've been here before, but I'm grabbing this energy cube. It's like, no, don't do that. Just, oh, you know, just have her, you know, investigate the whole thing, and then she encounters those dangers, and you have basically your action beats for the movie. It may be a little video gamey that, okay, she beats boss one, beats boss two, but you can make it flow very well with a proper scenario.
I think you would have it as a one contained quest, though, right? Would you have it as her investigating one lone complex, or would you have her travel through planet to planet?
Actually, planet to planet might work, because, you know, they have different complexes, and maybe whoever's in charge of, you know, that complex, you know, okay, you know, he's either the boss you have to kill. I'm not quite sure how a giant pterodactyl can be the boss of the complex, but that was always puzzling to me in the game as well. You know, it's like, he doesn't have any fingers. How the hell is he doing anything? But yeah, you know, and that would be interesting. But although this space flying thing was never really a part of Metroid, she usually just stayed on one planet and, you know, it went from there. So I think to stay true to the video game, I would have her stay on the planet.
Okay.
I mean, the planets are usually varied enough, and she goes into different environments enough that you can have different visuals just by her traveling, you know.
And, well, the question that I have to ask, obviously, with the Metroid franchise is who you would cast as Samus.
And we need a kick-ass, you know, action person.
I would go with Jessica Biel.
Really?
I know she's not blonde, but...
That can be fixed, you know.
Yeah, because she has that sort of, first of all, she has that grittiness, she has that super muscle awesome body that doesn't just look pretty but looks like she can kick ass. I don't know if she can, but she looks like she can.
Or who was that MMA fighter that was in Fast and Furious 6?
Gina Carano. I thought of her too, actually.
Yeah, you know, although she's wearing the armor, so I guess her build would not be seen as well, but you know, still, she's, you know, the way she was fighting in, you know, in Fast and Furious 6, you know, she's pretty tough. And even though she's going to be using, you know, most, you know, her arm cannon most of the time, you know, you could still have her fight, and, you know, that girl can throw a punch and make it look good, you know. So I would go for that. I could go for her as well.
Yeah, that's a great choice. I thought of her as well. The only reason why I didn't mention her, first I was like, you wouldn't miss out a little bit on just the spectacular beauty of her physique, because... like, she's built like a tank, this woman.
Yeah, she is.
Wow. Yeah. And you'd be losing on that, and part of me would be like, what the hell, man? Like, get her into her Zero suit already.
Oh, no, I don't want to see the Zero suit. So what is your number one?
My number one pick, 4. Nintendo property to be turned into a movie is an old NES game that you might recognize. It was sold with the console. No, I am not talking about Mario Brothers because that already exists. I am talking about Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt, really?
Duck Hunt. 8-bit Duck Hunt. The one with the ducks flying, and then you had your little plastic gun, and you went click, 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 and then you kept missing because the technology wasn't up to point, and then the dog kept mocking you.
Yeah.
Duck Hunt, that movie I want to see. Here's my concept for it. Story of a hunter, a duck hunter with very low self-esteem, on the verge of losing his mind, and he starts obsessing about his dog mocking him. It's just a normal dog, but he just feels like his dog keeps mocking him. And the movie would be his slow descent into madness as he keeps staring at his gun and failing at hunting ducks. He can't feed his family because he's supposed to sell ducks and whatnot. His whole business is selling wild ducks and he can't do it. And every time he's looking at his dog going, you motherfucker.
Okay. So you're not going for the popcorn action thing. You're really going for Oscar contender here.
Totally, yeah. I want the indie Duck Hunt movie is what I want to see.
Nice. Who would you see as in the role of the dog?
Well, you know, that dog who played Odie in the Garfield movies.
Yes, of course. Well, the dog has to talk at one point if he's going into madness, you know.
Yes, actually, you would want somebody to voice the dog at some point. Not at the beginning, maybe around the second or third act when the guy is really losing his mind.
Yeah.
Who would do the voice of a dog that would be taunting enough in that sense and subtle enough to be like really disturbing, you know what I mean? Or maybe it would be the same actor as the Duck Hunter, but taking just a slightly different voice. And then you could do Johnny Depp. Like, he'd be the pathetic duck hunter slowly losing his mind. We all know that Johnny Depp can do that really well. And then he can voice the dog at the same time. It'd be really eerie and weird.
Yeah. Although Johnny Depp on the screen for 2 hours alone. I don't know. I guess he could go see his family and realize, you know, I'm a failure. And, you know, see his wife and his wife's all, you'll do better tomorrow. You better. And,
Yeah, and honestly, like, if there's any actor you'd be stuck seeing alone for 2 hours and not get bored, it's probably Johnny Depp.
You're right. Yeah. Who would you have direct that, since we know we're doing serious?
I'm thinking Michel Gondry would be kind of interesting.
Okay.
If you're not familiar with Michel Gondry, he started off doing very eccentric music videos.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, like, you know the Daft Punk video where there's a guy with a dog head?
Yeah.
That goes, yeah, that video. That's Michel Gondry.
Wow. Okay, I can see that.
That guy. Yeah. And he also did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Okay. He's a very talented but really weird director. I think he would be ideal for this sort of project.
I might suggest Ang Lee for that as well.
That would work. And he's done one-man shows before. Yeah. You know, he just did Life of Pi. That was one actor the whole thing.
There you go. And he has, you know, he takes like non-Oscar, you know, the kind of genre that they're not, you know, Oscar worthy, and he actually makes good stuff out of them.
He did the martial arts movie with Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon and turned it into something Oscar nominated.
Should have been Oscar winning, but you know.
He took The Hulk, and I know The Hulk is not a popular movie on the World Wide Web, but we both love it.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it's a comic book property, and he did something very poetic with it. Yeah. I think that reputation would help Duck Hunt, where they'd be like Ang Lee's twist on the video game movie, taking it in a completely different direction.
Yep. You have Ang Lee's phone number, we could contact him.
In the meantime, if you want to share with us what Nintendo, or really video game property in general, you would like to see made into a movie, please write us at mail@idiomatic.com, or you can post a comment at idiomatic.com just below the episode. We're also on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. We invite you to subscribe if you haven't already. It really helps us a lot when you do. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.